welcome to another episode of Autosave. I'm Nick Andrade here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hadaway, as I always say every episode. And today, of course, we are continuing our journey into Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's almost over. Our journey, only a few chapters left.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
I have a question for you, as usual. Mm-hmm. On the spot, who would you rather have as a pet slash companion? Cosmo the dog or Cammy the llama?
I feel like I'd have really great conversations with Cosmo.
Yeah.
Plus, Cosmo has all of his like little puppies. So like we would have lots of friends to play with.
Right.
But then Cammy just has a certain type of charm. Like I'd feel weird having... Yeah, it would not... Cosmo wouldn't be my pet because he talks, right? Like that'd be really weird to have a pet that talks.
Yep.
But then they have Digimon, so I guess that's not that weird. Okay, I'm going to go with Cosmo.
Okay, I agree with that. In terms like Digimon, yeah, but Cosmo is a psychic dog, right?
Oh.
He kind of knows everything that's happening or going on, right? So I feel like that would, you know, have a huge burden in our relationship. Plus, you bring that up, talking dog, that relationship is no longer companion and human. It's now like almost human-human. So there'd probably be like fights that are very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Which now makes me sad thinking about Digimon. Like what if Agumon, you know, has a fight with Tai about who left the laundry out, and it gets really difficult.
It'd be really sad. But now that I just picture like Cosmo because he's like psychic. It'd be like, Cosmo, we are not going to the vet. You sure? I came in. I was going to do a Russian accent. That was horrible. That was horrible. That was like.
I'm not even sure what that was.
Oh my gosh. That was a horrible accent. But I won't do the accent. But Cosmo would be like, you sure we're not going to the vet? And then I'd be like, yeah, we're not going to the vet. Don't worry about the vet. We're not going. We're just going for a drive. And then Cosmo will know I'm lying, which is like, a bigger betrayal because then he knows, right? It's only a betrayal if they know you're lying.
It's true. It's true. I just imagine him be like, Peter Quill, why did you leave dishes out for last 5 days? I have been waiting to see if you will clean them and you did not. And stuff like that, right? So I'm going to pick Cammy in that situation because Cammy won't talk back. Also,
Cammy doesn't talk back.
I'm going to get into another stream here, but is the reason why we love pets so much is because they can't talk back to us and they just love unconditionally?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Mm. Because I'm pretty sure all pets have a moment where they're like, oh, I'm really mad at my owner. But we see it as cute because they can't express that in words.
Right.
Right. Maybe they express that in how they move, but they can't express it in words. So it doesn't hit us hard when they are upset at us. It's just kind of like something we should film to put on social media because it's cute. So, yeah. Pets, they shouldn't talk. So I guess that just, we just pretty much settled the Pokemon versus Digimon argument. Pokemon's apparently better now because they don't talk.
I just love how you said pets shouldn't talk. Like just, like you just laid down the law. Like, no, you know what? Pets shouldn't talk.
No.
I'm sure there's a lot of pet Karens out there that might be mad at you now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The only exception would be parrots, but they're not really talking what they mean to talk. They're just copying.
All right, okay. Let's move on after this conversation and talk about last week's episode so we can talk about now this week's episode.
So, where is he?
Maybe we spooked him.
Impossible. Foom was born without fear.
You don't know that.
In the cold heart of a dying star.
Dying stars ain't cold.
This one was.
You think his lair's behind that?
Let's find out.
That's right, we got to fight the legendary dragon, Fin Fang Foom. We accidentally killed him But it's okay because your group brought him back to life. And we managed to get Lady Hellbender on our side, who is going to help us take on the Universal Church, which is great. On this week's episode, we tackle a very action-packed Chapter 14, Into the Fire. Our discussion today that we're going to bring up, Camille, is past deeds never forgotten. And I think this is very important in this game specifically because a lot of our decisions have impact on what happens in the game. Something that I didn't really see coming with this game. I didn't think it would be like a Mass Effect-y type kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where our decisions would actually have some sort of purpose, which I like. But what do you think?
It's always great when you have a story that is able to actually have an impact based on your decisions. Like, I feel like there's a lot of games out there that say, oh, your decisions matter, and they don't actually have a huge impact. It's more like you unlock a trophy or an achievement, something to that effect. But the fact that this game is heavily story driven, we talked about how good the story is and that you're going to have an impact in how the end of your story kind of goes, or like how the main fight kind of goes. I like it.
It's not like it's necessarily having like your path through the game is still going to be kind of the same.
Yes.
But how you get through it is going to be different. And I know there's a lot of games out there that may have like a completely different story if you choose different decisions. For that, it sometimes overwhelms me because I'm afraid at what I'm missing out on, right? But with this game, I think you know that although we've had different experiences in some of our travels, it all comes to the same spot. But the difficulty in which it comes to that spot is different based on our decisions. So I do like that a little bit more, maybe because it makes me realize that I'm not missing out maybe on so much.
Yeah, it's like a little less of a commitment of having to play the game through like three or four times. But if you want to really get the 100% complete and see everything, then you can do that. Like another game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, was like that game for me where usually I'm not into playing a game like more than twice. Well, except if it's Miles Morales. But for Fire Emblem, just how they did your choices and, you know, who you get together with and who you become friends with, all your relationships affect like the last chapter of the game. So for me, I was like, oh my God, now I need to play it as like a different house every time. And it was a bit overwhelming, but I still enjoyed like the little Easter eggs when you played through those different paths.
Like those games where you can be either good or evil always drives me nuts because you're missing out on so much of the one side of it than the other. But this game doesn't really necessarily do. But the whole point of this discussion is there will be deeds that we have done that will come into effect, especially in this chapter, and we'll talk about it more through the gameplay. But first, we want to mention that we are on Patreon. That's patreon.com/autosavepod. Join today if you'd like to support the show, get some merch, listen to our monthly deep dive on the news and any other bonus contents, maybe even our final ratings on certain games. And we have some cool perks. Also, join our Discord so I can talk about how old I am based on the video games I play, which is now becoming more and more relevant as I dive deeper into old age. But after the break, we visit the Sacrosanct.
Looks twice as big now.
Wrong. It's at least thrice as big.
That's the biggest I've ever seen it.
What now?
Kill the lights, kill the engines, and wait for Lady Hellbender to show up.
We're sure she's coming, right?
She is a woman of honor, a queen. She promised to gather her forces.
And how long is that gonna take?
Too long.
No. We can't be too late. We gotta save the galaxy and Nikki. One way or another, we need to get in there and shut down that ritual.
We can't take on a fleet that big.
Little Fuzzy!
Rocket, what are you doing, man?
We need to get into Sacrosanct to disrupt the ritual, right? We all know we get killed out here. So, I'm gonna make a really loud distraction.
My tunes!
Yeah, I rigged it to blast your scuddy music across all channels. while the church is out looking for the source.
We cut the engines and we flow silently right past them to board the sacrosanct. Smart!
Seriously?
And we end up back at Sacrosanct, the Universal Church of Truth's temple, in the Alpha Hercules system. So the plan is to turn off all the engines and float into the Sacrosanct and wait for Lady Hellbender. Rocket rigs Peter's cassette player to blast on all channels and distract the church while they look for the source and they can sneak in. Is that a good idea? I feel like flying through in, distracting people with some 80s music is a great idea.
I mean, 80s music, you'll always say it's a good idea. Yeah. But I found this so funny because when this idea comes up, before then, Rocket asks to borrow your cassette player. And like, there's like these exchanges back and forth where the music is playing on the like ship's speakers. And Rocket's like, I really just need silence right now. I need a focus. I need silence. So you could turn off that speaker. And then Rocket's like, oh, thank you for that. And I thought he was going to put on the Walkman on himself to like help him focus. And I was like, what is this guy? Like, it was stressing me out. Like, I think I have an attachment. Like, Star-Lord has an attachment to this Walkman. I'm like, what is Rocket doing? I mean, if Rocket's willing to sacrifice something that isn't his, it's probably a good plan because Rocket always has good ideas that just coincidentally sometimes go bad.
Well, Quill mentioned this in the first chapter of the game, is how Rocket always just steals his stuff and starts to like reprogram it. So it's the same thing again. Rocket doesn't ask for permission and then fixes it and makes it this
giant.
Well,
he did ask for permission.
Wait, he did?
He asked for permission to borrow the Walkman.
Yeah, but we knew.
But he didn't ask for permission to send it off in space and possibly be destroyed by everybody else. So he's meeting Quill halfway, okay? He's changing a little bit.
All right. Well, as we turn off our engines, guess what? Lady Hellbender arrives.
What?
Morgoth's breath.
Whoa! Yes! Lady Hellbender has arrived!
Guardians of the galaxy, stop hiding! The monster lords of Sacnoth 9 hunger for battle.
We're not hiding.
We are sneaking.
Because we need to get into Sacrosanct alive.
Then we will slaughter as many as we can out here while you fight your way in. Eat, my children! Crack open their shells and feast upon the sweet meats inside!
This is so metal.
Hell yeah. Holy crap. Lady Hellbender is an animal. Like she's just like, feast on their insides. Oh my God. She is ready to battle.
You always just talk about Lady Hellbender. It's amazing how much you like her.
All right, well, thanks. I just think that she's a badass.
My thing was that she was riding Fing Fang Foom, and like,
right.
That was so badass. That was the badass part.
That's my question to you, actually, is how is she breathing in space?
Does it matter? Does it matter?
Yes, it does, actually.
I don't know anything. Like, the accuracy does matter to me. Well, I guess she's breathing in... Well, how is Fing Fang Foom breathing in space and not, like, getting cold?
I don't know either. I'm confused.
I guess it's a space thing. We haven't been to space, so we just don't know how it works up there.
Well, apparently, I remember hearing that Star Wars battles or stuff like that happened in space, there would actually be no sound. You would not be able to hear anything that's going on, apparently, through, I think it was like Neil deGrasse Tyson or something like that. You're looking at me really confused, but I think that's the case. Anyway, I don't know if that's factually accurate. Google
really?
It and tell me. I believe so, anyway. It's like in movies where two characters are shouting at each other from far distance and it's like they can hear each other perfectly, but they're kind of regularly talking, which is also not accurate.
Well, I guess in Guardians, everybody has comms like for that talking thing. So like even Lady Hellbender being outside of the Milano talking, I guess she's just the comms thing is integrated. I don't know. I don't know how space works. Like Marvel, how does this work? Like I don't know.
Well, the Guardians plan to use this distraction, obviously, to fly the ship inside. Did you have any trouble flying the ship inside the Sacrosanct? Because I kind of just decided
I died.
You died?
Yeah, I died.
Really?
Once. I got hit by like another ship.
Yeah.
And it's the first part. So when you're guiding it out, you have limited control over what you could do because it's still slowly guiding you towards the sacrosanct. And if you move down, it's like very slow. I didn't realize that it was slowly going down. So I just kept going straight and then I died.
So when all the ships ended up coming, did you fly straight into
No, I didn't die at that part.
Okay.
No, it was just when you're guiding through. Yeah.
So you just hit something.
Yeah, I just, I hit another ship.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Which was small, by the way. I don't think that would actually take out the Milano. I'm just saying.
So after that phase, and then when you're just flying fast with the ship and ships are shooting at you, I realize like there's way too many ships here. I'm just going to just
fly
straight into the sacrosanct and hopefully make it in alive, which I did.
Yeah. And I think that's what you're supposed to do anyways, because you have your cover.
Once you're in, though, guess what? You're equipped with new gold and white outfits that are amazing and beautiful and my favorite outfits of the entire game. Did you use them? Did you unequip them? Did you equip something else?
Yeah, but when did they put these on?
Who cares?
They were just talking to Lady Hellbender. Did they have... I didn't remember them having that on when they were like... While the Milano is flying in, they're like, wait, okay, let's put this on autopilot so we can put on these awesome suits. No, the suits are awesome. They're really gold and they're nice. They kind of remind me of Gamora's regular outfit.
Yeah.
But like everybody got that suit and then they just added gold plating to it.
I don't care where they got the outfits from. I really love them. They're my most favorite. But as we're in, we get Groot's mega ability, the Gift of the Fluori, which is the last mega ability. So we got every single teammate's mega ability. I want to mention as well, side note, producer Dylan told me that I actually, he was watching my gameplay, the ones that I recorded, realized that I did not equip Drax's last ability, which is why I kept getting ability points. I thought I had, but apparently I did not. So I'm just a horrible game player is what I wanted to admit.
I'm sorry
to everyone.
To hear you that, yeah.
Mantis is still on the Milano piloting the ship, which probably isn't a good idea that they're letting her do this.
She's really bad at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we start off with a bang, obviously, with a bunch of enemies, priests, and all the regulars. The Guardians are afraid that Warlock has turned to the Promise. And if that's the case, they're afraid to go into his mind. I would be too, because his mind is probably really creepy.
Yeah. Well, I guess the poopy parts are out of his mind.
The poopy parts.
So it's like if they're putting the poopy parts back in, that would suck.
I agree. Through this mission, though, they're following to see where Warlock is. They have a tracking device, obviously, that Rocket placed. The next level, obviously, there's more mobs and hallway. They're blowing ginormous air, and you have to use these wind element power. Like, I don't know how to explain this. There's like a giant wind gust.
There's like a wind turbine that is sending wind gusting your way. So like you could fall off these platforms and you have to use your wind ability to kind of grab on to, I guess, like a metal plating or shields or something that conveniently are on each platform. And then you could pull the plate up with your wind ability and then use that as protection against the turbine, the wind from the turbine. I like this part. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't difficult or anything. I just thought it was an interesting way to traverse.
As you go further through, a cutscene pops up in which one of Lady Hellbender's giant monsters comes and blows up the entire inside of the wall and blocks the path for us. So we have to walk outside the ship in order to keep going, but there's artificial gravity. So now we're on top of the ship walking over it. But again, I'm confused as why they don't need masks. Or do they have masks? I think Quill does. Is Quill the only one that can't breathe in space?
I guess so. Because, yeah, does Rocket have a mask? I don't think Rocket has his mask on. No, he does. He has, like, little...
He does? Okay.
Like a tube thing. Remember when he hits into the Milano and he sends the Walkman into space? He's, like, wearing a little tube thing on his mouth, I think.
Okay.
Or I may be dreaming that. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. Okay. Now, if you notice, actually, the team does their special moves now without Quill asking them to do it anymore. I don't know if you noticed this, but like if Drax has to knock down a wall, if Gamora has to climb up something like or cut something down, they do it automatically. You don't have to ask them.
I didn't know if this is part of like your decision making throughout the game, because I found Drax was really good at this. All right. Gamora, not so much. I don't know if she has an issue with Star-Lord. I don't know what it is, but I still had to ask her a few times. Groot was good.
Yeah.
Rocket was perfect.
Yeah.
Gamora was like,
So maybe she just hates you. Because for me, she didn't.
Maybe.
What decisions did you choose to make her hate you?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I feel like I was on Gamora's side. Like, I think maybe one time I kind of made fun of Gamora with the team, like with Rocket and stuff, like how she's an assassin or whatever.
Yeah.
Like how she may turn on the team.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I gave her a doll. She should like me. I don't know what it was. Like sometimes she would do like her special to help us like get up to the platforms and stuff. But other times she would just not do it. And I would have to ask her. I'm like, okay, Gamora, like, come on.
Well, I guess maybe that's just on you. But as we're going through some more battles, we get some help from Fin Fang Foom and Lady Hellbender.
I believe this is your Star-Lord.
So metal indeed. That's now my new favorite quote. And also, if you see the title of the show today, so metal. I think it's really important for Quill to have his tunes because it's his last memory of his mom. And on Earth, really, that's kind of the last kind of memory he has. But also, I want to ask you, does space or these the galaxy have like MP3s? Can he transfer it to another device? Like, I'm sure they have other ways to like put music out there that's not a Walkman.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should because they have communication devices. So it's like you could just, I guess, broadcast music to whatever communication device. But maybe no one's into music in space. They're just kind of like, eh, we don't need it on the go. We're good.
Well, all right.
They're not having fun in space. All the fun's on Earth. It seems like all the fun's on Earth because all the like, doesn't it like everybody just talks about Earth and like Star-Lord just makes a lot of references about Earth. And then everyone's like, wait, they do what on Earth? And I'm like, yeah, I see Earth's fun.
Earth is like any media that comes from space is always Earth like kind of related or whatnot. I was thinking a lot this episode about Quill and his hair and why his hair is cut like that. Like, it looks like a style from, you know, the 2020s now.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does Quill know what's stylish on Earth? You know what I mean? Why does he have like some weird mohawk ponytail mullet combo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
During the trek, Drax says that Lady Hellbender should join the team. So the majority of the team votes no. My question to you, Camille, is would you add Lady Hellbender to the Guardians? Would she be a good addition? I'm going to say yes, obviously, because I love her.
I said yes.
You did? Okay. You would.
I did say yes because she has that little bit of crazy that is missing from the Guardians. Like, all the Guardians have a little bit of crazy, like the fun kind of crazy, but I think we're missing like the dangerous crazy that can get us into danger more frequently, but also would be willing to take more risk to save everybody. That's why I said Lady Hellbender is a Guardian.
Lady Hellbender seems like the type, like when she's happy and having fun, it's like a murderous kind of fun. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like at the beginning of that cutscene where she's like, just like, it looks like she's so excited to like just topple some heads over. But Lady Hellbender, however, is not the only one that comes in to save the day for us. Someone else does as well, as we're getting ambushed by a giant army.
Cosmo, is that you in there?
Da, spasiba, Guardian of Galaxies, for helping Cosmo shake away Promise. He is no longer chasing stick that is snake. And look, Cosmo is bringing Noel.
Yeah, we noticed.
And family. Say privit, my pups.
It's good to have you back, buddy.
Ha! Cosmo is very much like filthy fleas. You are thinking he is gone until he is biting on your ass.
He's such a good boy.
Nerd, Cosmo is best of boys. Now we give these brain fleas the bites they deserve. Attack!
I love how Cosmo's like, he's the best of boys.
The best of boys.
And he has a giant celestial head to destroy the enemies, which I think is hilarious. It's just like the one on Nowhere.
Okay, so was this just another celestial head, or was this Nowhere itself? Because I thought it was Nowhere itself.
Was it? Because to me, it looked like a different head, but you could be right.
Okay.
My first assumption that it wasn't, but I'm going to go with your assumption, and I think it was the celestial head of Nowhere.
Yeah, my thing, it was just like, it's kind of weird seeing its rib cages.
Oh, I know, right?
Like, it's just like, ugh.
A little bit of its spine dangling at the end of its neck.
It's pretty scary. Celestials are scary, but also all powerful. And I was so happy when I saw Cosmo. I'm like, see, me and Cosmo, he has my back. We're buddies.
So does that mean that you would have Cosmo as a part of the Guardians as well? That's my next question.
Yes, all misfits are allowed in the Guardians.
I think Cosmo would be a very great addition to the Guardians, more so than Lady Hellbender, is my opinion. But on we go, falling through, guess what, giant gaps, sliding down areas, which we seem to do a lot in this game. Mm-hmm. And you get one last chance to unlock all your perks, so make sure you do that. Also, make sure that you unlock all your abilities, unlike I did, the stupid dum-dum that I am. And then we go into another area where we finally meet up with Warlock, who's basically in chains and is locked down with a face shield. So many of those giant monsters standing in front of him, in front of our goal and destination. So guess what? We need some more help from some of our friends.
Aggression by the Universal Church of Truth
cannot be tolerated.
Lethal force has been authorized.
Surrender will not be considered.
Holy Scott, they came back.
Of course they did. Give them hell, World Mind!
Guardians of the Galaxy, it is imperative
that you evacuate this vessel
before we fire upon it.
Hold that thought. Adam Warlock's on this ship.
Incorrect. Adam Warlock perished
in the Galactic War.
He's here, alive.
He is still alive, right?
The Church abducted the Golden God. We intend to free him.
You said it yourself. Adam Warlock is the only one with the potential to stop this.
Very well. We will focus
on reducing support forces.
For now. Act with haste,
Guardians.
We, hit a little bit of a roadblock.
Step forward.
And witness the full destructive potential
of the Nova Force.
Flark, yeah, indeed. We convinced the World Mind and the rest of their forces to join the fight for the galaxy. At least my gameplay did. Camille, did the World Mind show up for you?
Yes, they did. I remember when we made the decision to convince them, we planted that seed of doubt into the World Mind's mind, I guess. And I was like, these suckers, okay? They literally were leaving us. Mm-hmm. And now they come crawling back. Who said I need their help? Who said that?
Yeah.
But I was actually happy to have their help because they are very powerful. So that was good. That was good.
So all our decisions here came to help us, like Cosmo, World Mind.
Yeah.
From what I get, if you didn't end up rescuing Cosmo or planting that seed of doubt with World Mind, you actually have to fight through these things.
Oh.
I'm not sure how intense it is, but it seems like it would be super intense. Like the amount of armies that are around.
There must be a
lot of just Quill going with his blasters like you do in all the fights. But like that would seem a little bit too insane to me. Like that seems like a lot of enemies.
Yeah, I wonder how much gameplay that adds to.
Right?
Like, is it going to be like just like 10 minutes? I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have to do it though.
That kind of thing would be useful if there were more abilities to unlock, right? Mm-hmm. Like you reach level 99 or whatever, like people do that so that they can fight all those mobs. But with that, there's no sense of that in this game. It kind of doesn't really make sense to make those bad decisions and not get help from your friends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the Guardians basically told World Mind that Warlock is still alive. They can fix this. Give us more time before they completely destroy all the forces. So World Mind is super, super, super powerful. But we end up finding Warlock, who is with Raker. Of course, he's in those binds and chains, and we sneak in. Raker hates him. Of course, he keeps telling him that he hates Warlock for not healing his son. Calls him a crazy person, which I think they're both kind of crazy people. Once Raker disappears into the next room, we sneak in and rescue the Golden God.
Guardians, breach my bindings. Even now, Raker readies his restoration ritual.
Rocket, can you bust him out?
If I gotta.
Let me guess. Raker's power proved more pernicious than predicted?
There is little point pondering possibilities past, daughter of Thanos. Soon, feverous faith will flood Raker's fledgling and feed the fiend within.
Not gonna happen. We're gonna shut it down together. Right?
Right.
Okay, let's go, people.
Come! Time dwindles as we dawdle.
Could put him back up there.
Don't tempt me.
I kind of agree with that little statement at the end there, because this was the cutscene that kind of made me feel a little sketchy with Warlock. I thought to myself, like, is something going to happen where we can't trust him?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was prepared for him to, like, flip-flop on us.
Did you feel that before that little dialogue happens, or just because of that dialogue hinting that something may happen?
Just because of that dialogue, it seems, and it's,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Because he seems a little mischievous. Like, I don't know what his plans are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I just feel like Warlock is arrogant, as we've seen in his previous dialogue, and that clashes with Peter Quill, because... Right. Peter Quill has an ego about him as well. No pun intended. But yeah, like, I just feel like that was them clashing. But I can see how that dialogue at the end can give a little bit of, like, we should still watch out for him. And I feel, would you trust him at this point, given that you know Magus is a side of him? Like, if you were in the Guardian's position, would you even want to free him?
Yeah, especially that you know that Magus is a part of him, right? Mm-hmm. It seems a little dangerous, and he's kind of a weakling right now. Like, Raker destroyed him pretty easily beforehand. So to me, it's like, is he looking for his full power and then is going to, like, try to take over everything? Mm-hmm. Like, can we really trust his word?
Well, even, like, with the World Mind saying, like, Warlock is the key, and then when we tell them, like, don't destroy here because Warlock is actually in here, I would have been like, to the World Mind, like, so what happened with, like, how is Warlock supposed to save everything if he couldn't even contest Raker? Like, I would question the World Mind's thought on Warlock being the savior of everything, just because it doesn't seem like that quite adds up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of not prepared what's going to happen next, but after the break, we go straight to Nikki and the fulfillment.
Just in time for the miracle.
Grand Unifier, I trust you can hold them to bear witness.
Easily.
Thank you.
Well, Nikki is too far gone with Magus. She completes the fulfillment as Magus is extracted from her body from the life energy. The Guardians are held by a giant bubble created by Raker as they seem to have no hope. And everyone and every ship outside in space by the Sacrosanct is now covered in Magus, which is the end of Chapter 14. But it doesn't look good for our Guardians here.
Yeah, and it's really gross looking. Like, I know they're covered in Magus.
Yeah.
So gross. But yeah, like, yeah. Even when you see Lady Hellbender being consumed by Magus, it's like, looks like it's a lot of pain as well. It's just not like they're just being covered. It's painful. Ugh.
Yeah. So past deeds never forgotten as we move on from chapter 14, and we'll talk about what happens in our next episode, but obviously our past deeds never forgotten. Friends who come help based on the decisions you made earlier. We have Cosmo, World Mind, Lady Hellbender, all helping you in need because of the decisions you made in the game, whether or not it was because you were friendly or because you made the right call when having a conversation with people. I think Lady Hellbender wasn't necessarily your friend, but you convinced her, and especially Groot did something to help her, so she helped you. Cosmo was specifically friendship related, and then World Mind was logic related. But how do you feel about these decisions that you made coming in handy in this mission?
You know, like we discussed before, it's nice when a game is able to actually have an effect on your gameplay rather than just a trophy or an achievement. So for this in particular, like not having to play through that length of battle if you didn't get your associates to help you would have been really, really annoying to me. We talked about how the gameplay can get repetitive, especially with the waves and waves of enemies, and it just seems redundant. And I feel like I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my mind if I just had to keep fighting through these waves of energy. And I think playing it through with Cosmo and World Mind and Lady Hellbender taking on the brunt of that allowed me to more enjoy the pacing of this chapter.
Yeah, that's true. What I was going to say is it doesn't feel Ex Machina type where these characters come out of nowhere to help you. There's a reason to it. And that's what I enjoy. It's they came to help because you ended up helping them rather than, oh, look, Cosmo, we haven't seen him in 6 chapters, but now he's here to rescue us and help us out. I like that there is a part of that story as to why they're there. I think that's a really important story beat that makes things more refreshing than someone just coming out of nowhere and helping you just because.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it has to make sense. Especially, like, you know, we've helped Cosmo while he was actually battling his promise, right? The World Mind, because they are full of logic, we out-logicked them, in a sense, by planting that seed of doubt. And Lady Hellbender was probably the most exciting of, like, the storylines, I would think, because it was just always, like, we're going to run away from her and like, we don't need her help. We, you know, she's trying to kill us to now we have like this fun friendship because we allowed her to, I still debate if she's helping Fing Fang Foom or like she's creating a sanctuary. I don't know, but like we allowed her to kind of make that relationship that she was looking for the longest time. Right.
So gameplay related, did you have any pain points? What did you think of chapter 14 in essence in a whole?
I thought it was well paced, and especially because of the help that we received in the end. I feel like if I did get that, I probably wouldn't like this chapter. I do like, and I'll say it again, I like being in the Milano and I like piloting the Milano, even though it exploded because I ran into another ship. I find that really fun. I would have actually wanted a little bit more of a space battle there, but I get that the sense that they were trying to make it seem as it's so overwhelming because this is like the big battle of all these different groups of people coming together against the church. So it's a bit hectic, but I think I would have wanted more of like just combat in the Milano rather than just trying to rush to get into the Sanctus.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there was only one chapter that had like a full on space battle, right?
And it was very easy.
Yeah, very easy.
Mm-hmm. I forgot the captain. What was his name again?
Captain Glory.
Glory. Yeah, it was very easy. So I wanted to see, I think, more of that here, especially because I know we're getting to the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll be in the Milano battling again. So I was just hoping for a little bit more of that.
Well, you know my complaint, which is more boss fights. I don't know why we have to fight so many endless mobs of things, but that's okay. And then my pain point that I mentioned earlier was there was an outfit during the wind metal panel thing that you had to block the wind out of.
Yes.
There was an outfit that I didn't get, and I moved forward a little bit. I didn't realize the cutscene was going to get me right there. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to go back and get it, but then the cutscene happened. I restarted my game, but I was saved at that point, so I was stuck. So I decided to go and try to get the outfit back, and you can't open the panels anymore. So
yeah.
I managed to just barely do it after like 7 tries. I had to like run at the exact time to know when the wind was going, and then the wind would blow me. So I was trying to use my jetpack things to force me to stay on the platform, and then I would be able to get it, but it took me forever. And I hated it because I hate that you can't go back to things. It drives me nuts in this game. That's one of the big pain points that I have.
Yeah, it really does. Like, especially for like the outfits, like there were quite a few outfits I didn't get because of that. Just moving on before or triggering a cutscene and not being able to go back like 1 or 2 steps just to get that outfit. So that is definitely frustrating and a downside to this game.
Anything else before we go? Do you have any last comments?
Cosmo's the best boy. That's the only thing I have.
Did you try to do a Russian accent there? It seemed like you were about to.
I wasn't fully committed. I was like, should I? No, I'm not committed.
Well, you can help us on patreon.com/autosavepod if you'd like to support the show. It would be much appreciated. Also, reach us out on our social handles and also AutosavePod on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Let us know what decisions you made in this game and in Chapter 14 that made it more difficult or more easy for you. Next time on Autosave, it's the finale, the last episode of Guardians of the Galaxy, the game.